Haven of Hope Church, a true Pentecostal church with outward and upward praise and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the coming fulfillments of the prophecies of the Scriptures, the sea of humanity, in need and without hope, will flood our church. As God has promised in a word to us, if you remain faithful to me, I will remain faithful to you. With that promise in mind and the word that God has given us, we now know that Jesus Christ, through His church, has become the haven of hope for the hopeless. Haven of Hope Church, bringing hope to the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.
Welcome to Hope for the Hopeless, the sanctuary ministry of the Haven of Hope Church of God at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont. We pray the day finds you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. The Scripture says to give honor where honor is due and tribute to whom tribute, and we'd like to take this opportunity to say a very special thank you to Save News Network for making this ministry opportunity available to us here at the Haven of Hope Church. The following service is from our Sunday morning church service. It is indeed a joy and privilege to welcome you to our service this morning. It shouldn't take long at all for you to discover that the Lord has ordered your steps today to one of the best churches you've ever been. The people here are all about loving and caring about your family. Before you leave today, you will have discovered that you have new friends and that God loves you. Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803, Streaming Plus license, A20958810. And we're all just home folks, and we're all just family of God. But all together we'll be having church and praising and worshiping God together, as well as being fed the Word of God. It is our continued prayer that you're blessed of God, and may you be blessed by these services. If you need me for anything, please don't hesitate to call upon me, Pastor J. Mac Taylor. Now here's the message on Hope for the Hopeless from the Haven of Hope Church.
Leviticus 6:12, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. Verse 13 says, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Would you stretch your hands towards me this morning? I do need a touch from the Lord. My Father God, my kind and gracious Heavenly Father, I approach you tonight, today, dear God, in the throne room. I seek, dear God, your divine touch upon my body, my mind, my heart, my soul, and body, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you and magnify you for what you are about to do in this house through this word. I thank you, dear God, for your power and your spirit. The devil is a liar. We come against him and all the weapons he's bringing against this church right now, and we cast him down and cast him out in Jesus' name. Send your angels, dear God, to camp around these people, around this church, around this pastor, dear God, that we might be victorious in this battle. In the name of Jesus, we magnify you and pray. Let every word that I speak, dear God, go out under your anointing, and let it go out to those who are under the sound of my voice, and let them receive power and strength and nourishment of their souls. In Jesus' name, we thank you and pray. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches pastors you have to be instant, in season, out of season. People get that scripture wrong. People say you have to be instant, in season, and out of season. That's wrong. There ain't no and in that sentence. You have to be instant, in season, out of season. That means when it ain't season, it ain't your time to preach, you have to be ready to preach. Uh-huh. Amen? Amen? That's why Sister Barbara's got the notice this morning. She's preaching tonight. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Now, in saying that, I used to keep two or three messages burning. I used to say I keep them burning in my hip pocket. So if any time I got called, because I have walked into churches, and men of authority would say, when the singing was done, they'd say, we're looking forward to having J. Mac Taylor preach tonight. And I would have to go up there and do it. I did that one time without being prepared. It won't ever happen again. I've got messages committed to memory now that I can preach if I have to. And this is one of them. Let the fire ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. And I've preached it here about four times in 12 years. And I've used the scripture many times over the years. and a message to keep that I keep burning just in case I get called on to preach on the spur of the moment. And this passage, it talks about fire. And I use it usually to emphasize the fact that the best place to restart a cold Christian heart. How many of you ever got to a place where you were cold in your Christian walk? And I'm gonna hit that just a little bit right now. If you want to get your fire started again, you got to go back to the place where it got lit. And you know where that place is it got lit? In the altar of prayer, in the altar of repentance, and in the altar of giving up your will to God and asking the Lord to bring healing to your body and to bring healing to your soul and to wash away your sin. That's where your fire started. Oh! When I first got saved, when I got up out of that altar, I felt like I could go grab the devil, rip his head off, and spit down his neck and shove his head down his throat. I felt like I was so full of God's fire and power. And when you know what happens when you get weak? Now, we don't want to talk about how we get weak, do we, Brother Matt? We don't want to talk about the fact that sometimes we stop praying.
All right.
Sometimes we stop going to church. Sometimes we stop hanging out with the right folks and start hanging out with the wrong ones. Sometimes we go back. Oh, Lord bless us. Sometimes we go back to the old ways we used to have. And when we do, what happens to that fire? It goes out. Well, I'm not going to preach today on how to get your fire back. The Lord pointed this out to me a couple of weeks ago. I've had this message ready to preach for 4 weeks. And every time I walk up to preach it, God says no. I'm going to go in a different direction today. In the prayer meeting about 4 or 5 weeks ago, a fire, come on now, a fire, y'all remember this, a fire was burning in here on that night because I was unable to lead the prayer meeting. And I looked to Pastor Sarah to lead it, and Pastor Sarah was absolutely wiped out with her blood sugar. And she was trying to do it anyway, and Pastor Jess walked up to her and spoke to her. And when she spoke to Sarah, Sarah took her headset off and said, "You know what, this ain't supposed to be me, this is supposed to be you tonight." So Pastor Jess had to be instant in season, out of season. And she stepped up and she brought the fire. She was ready. She was prepared. Her heart was on fire for the Lord at that point. And boy, the fire was on her and the fire was in this altar. The fire was in this church. The fire was on these people. Somebody say hallelujah, because the fire. And at that point, the Lord said to me, "There is a fire burning." And after that, the power of the Holy Ghost began to fall in these services in mighty ways. And I knew right then the Lord had spoken to me and said, "There is a fire burning," and we are expecting that. Well, "There is a fire burning" needs to be our new motto. I said that last week sometime, didn't I? There's a fire burning. Well, this is something I've been praying about and seeking the Lord about for a long time about this church. And I want to bring out a new meaning of Leviticus 6 and 13 today. Do you know what the Lord said to Aaron about his sons? His son Aaron was a priest of the tribe of Levi. And his sons were also priests in the temple. And this was the altar of the burnt offering for sacrifice. And God told Aaron to get his sons ready, because when the sacrifice was over, they were supposed to change out of their priestly garments and put on work clothes. And then they were supposed to take a linen garment and take it in front of the altar. And with tongs, they were supposed to take those burning coals and that fire off the altar and put it on that linen and walk it out to the gates of the temple. And right there at the gates of the temple, they were supposed to keep the fire burning. And they were supposed to keep a fire burning on the altar. The Bible says, "Let the fire ever be burning upon the altar, and never let it go out." God set men in order to keep that fire burning. And how do you keep a fire burning? You keep putting fuel on it. You keep tending to it. You keep looking after it. You keep taking out the coals that won't burn no more. And you keep putting back the ones that need to get bit on fire and bring fuel to the fire. Somebody needs to get a hold of that right now. Somebody needs to get a hold of that right now. There's things that when you get saved and your fire is burning, the first thing the devil does is go to your mind and start saying, "Ain't nothing to that. You ain't got to do that. You ain't got to live like that preacher says. You ain't got to keep living like that. You could go back to the way, you could do this one little thing. You could do this little thing over here. You can do this. There's a story. There was a play done in the youth ministry back in the 80s, right after I got saved. And in the play, there was these boys, these friends, and they were party animals, and they were all kinds of wild, and they were complete sinners and out of control. And this one boy went to a revival and got saved. And when he got saved, he came back to his house, and he saw his house, and everything in his house reminded him of that life. He cleared his house out. He took out the rugs. He took out the furniture. He took out the dishes. He took out the chairs. He took out the couch. He took out the paintings off the walls, the artwork off the walls, the posters. He took out the TV and put it all on the curb. Said, I'm done with that. I got a new life now. What's the Bible say about when a spirit, a demon spirit leaves a man and he comes back after that man's been swept and garnished? What does he do? He goes out and finds seven other demons more wicked than himself and comes back. And the fate of that man is worse than the first. Well, his friend came back. And as the play goes on, we realize who the friend is. The friend is the devil. And the devil comes in, and he's talking to the boy, and he says, what'd you get rid of all this stuff for? The boy said, I got saved. I had to get rid of all the stuff in my old life so I could keep my fire burning. I could keep it going. And the devil said, well, you didn't get everything. He said, why not? He said, you didn't get that nail off the wall where you hung that picture. And the boy walks up to the wall with a hammer and gets ready to take that nail out. And the devil says, wait just a minute. Are you seriously going to tell me that little nail in the wall is going to take you back to that lifestyle? And the boy said, you know what? You're probably right. I'm going to leave it there. And the devil said, you know what belongs on that nail? That picture you got sitting out there on the curb, that picture. You know where we were when we got that picture together? What was happening? The kind of things that was going on that was bonding us as friends. You know that picture out there? It really belongs on that nail. The devil said, you know, that picture, it ain't gonna hurt you. It ain't gonna do nothing. It ain't nothing but a picture. And the boy goes out and says, you know what? You're right. He gets the picture, goes back and hangs it up on that nail. And the devil says, you know what? Ain't nowhere to sit in here. There's a nice couch sitting out there on the curb. That couch, ain't nothing wrong with that couch. Ain't nothing sinful about that couch. You know what? The memories you got on that couch with that girlfriend. You know about that. You want to remember that. Ain't nothing wrong with remembering. The boy says, you know what? You're right. Him and the devil go out and bring that couch back in. And within just a few minutes of the devil talking to this boy, you know what he's done? Everything that was on the curb was brought back in and put back in its place. That's because that boy won't tend into his fire.
Come on, Beth.
We tend the fire in several ways. We have to make sure that our fire don't go out. The best way in the world to keep from having to relight your fire is to make sure it don't go out in the first place. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, we tend the fire, and to keep it from going out, you tend it. And we tend the fire in several ways. And the first way that we tend the fire is by making sure we stay on our knees before God. Lord, touch my soul. Touch me. Touch all of these today, dear God. Let them receive that word right there. We stay on our knees in an altar of prayer. You don't have to wait till you get home to pray. You can pray in your car going down the road. You can pray at Walmart. You can pray at church. You can pray, if you're quiet about it, you can pray at school. You can pray at work if you don't let it get in the way of your job. And you know what? If we stay on our knees, we can keep our fire burning. Another way that we can keep the fire burning is for us to walk in the power and the anointing that God has placed upon us and not just sit back and go, I hope that preacher can preach me happy today. You know how many folks come to church saying, well, I'm ready for that preacher to preach me happy. I'm ready for that praise team to sing me happy. Lord, they're singing that same song again. Well, I'm ready for that preacher to preach. Lord, have mercy. He's preaching about that again. I don't need... No. Saints, that's not the way church is supposed to be. People say, well, I ain't got to live that way, preacher. I don't believe you have to live that way to get to heaven. I'm going to tell you something. I love you. And I'm doing my level best to get you to heaven, and I ain't going to tell you wrong. I'm going to tell you what the word says and how it says and what it means and a way to get you to heaven, and I ain't going to tell you nothing that's wrong. I'm going to try my best to keep you out of hell because that's my job. We need to stay on our knees in the altar of prayer, and we need to walk in the power and anointing that God has placed on us. Nothing stokes our fire like walking in the power, and you don't walk in the power if you don't have an active prayer life. Somebody say amen. Now, I've talked about walking in the anointing. And over the past couple of months, I have been proclaiming the anointing on you. And I'm not just talking about those of you sitting in this house. I'm talking about those of you who are watching by live stream who can't be here today. I'm proclaiming the anointing on you, but you know why I'm doing it? I didn't ask God, can I do it? I didn't ask God, well, Lord, should I do this? The Lord spoke to my heart and said, you are a man of God. I have anointed you to be my vessel. I have anointed you to be my mouthpiece. And not only have I anointed you to be my mouthpiece, but you are a man of God, and I've anointed you as a man of faith. And when you speak, it comes into existence. And he said, I want you to start proclaiming victory over your people. I want you to start proclaiming anointing over your people. Hallelujah. Proclaim the anointing. And a whole lot of times when I start proclaiming the anointing, like, you know what I mean when I say I'm proclaiming the anointing? Help me, Lord. Do you know the sheep and the shepherd mentality? If a shepherd and a man wants to grow his flock, he can't look to that shepherd that works for him to grow his flock. Because that shepherd can't make more sheep come up. Do you know where more sheep come from? The sheep this day. The titles, the old cliche says, sheep beget sheep. The shepherd don't beget sheep. Sheep beget sheep. What my job is to feed you the word of God. My job is to proclaim the anointing of God over you like he has told me to do, and to see you and to attempt to get you to walk in that anointing, to attempt to get you to walk in that power, to attempt to get you to speak in faith and speak to those who are lost. Carmen is working real hard on getting a young man to come to this church. And I believe he's coming tonight, am I right? She's worked on him. He's supposed to have come a couple of times, and he's done told her he's coming tonight. Somebody say proclaim the anointing. Carmen is walking in it. She's just now seeing what's happening. What's going to happen to Carmen when that boy comes in here and he gets saved? And he starts coming back. What's she going to think? What's she going to feel? How's she going to feel? She's going to feel right good. She's going to feel right proud of herself. She's going to understand that she is walking in the anointing, and it ain't going to stop with just that one young man. She's got other people she knows that she can lead to the Lord. And guess what? She's not the only one that knows folks that need to come to this house and come to the Lord. All of us do. And God has put a particular burden on my heart to reach out to my family one more time and to come out, to go after them and not care whether or not they get mad at me, but to go after them because I want to see them in heaven, and he does too. Many of us are apprehensive about proclaiming the anointing on our lives to win the lost. But recently the Lord showed me why. It's because once you lock on to this truth, once you finally realize exactly who and what you are in the Lord and in his power, not only will you be a force to be reckoned with, but you will be unstoppable. Hallelujah. This church is not an audience to be entertained. This church is an army to be trained and empowered, and that's what God has been doing for the last few weeks in these services. Once you finally see through your spiritual eyes the gift and the power, and when I said that, you know what? Mason's going to love this. When I said the power, I instantly thought, Darth Vader said, Luke, you don't understand the power of the dark side. And Darth Vader's trying to convince Luke Skywalker that the power of the dark side is mightier and more powerful than the force, the light side of the force. But of course he's wrong. It's just the easier path. It's the quicker path. You don't get better and more powerful taking the quick and easy way. The bad side of the force is not better than the good side. And the wickedness and the power of the enemy is not more powerful than the power of God. There is no power greater than the power of God. That's right. Hallelujah. No, the darkness is not any way more powerful than the power of God that is in you in this last day. Come on, somebody, say amen.
Amen.
Once you can see this, you will be a reckoning force. Say, I'm a reckoning force. Now somebody say it like you believe it. I'm a reckoning force. One more time. I'm a reckoning force. Hallelujah. And the devil wants you to be apprehensive. He doesn't want our services to continue to be the way they've been being. He doesn't want you to walk in the power and the authority of that proclaimed anointing. He wants you to be doubtful. He does not want you to latch onto this truth, because he knows that the gates of hell cannot prevail against us once we start walking in that anointing. Jesus said, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know what? I say this every time I say that scripture. The gates of hell do not get up off of hell and come move and attack us. Gates stay in one place. So when Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against you, was he saying the gates of hell ain't going to get up and come after you? That ain't what he was saying. Jesus was saying that you as his anointed, you as his disciple, you as his proclaimed anointed disciple, once you get it in your head that you're going after the lost, the gates of hell cannot stop you from breaking through and reaching that lost one. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is coming back again in all his glory. And every eye shall see him on that day. Philippians 2:10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, the things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. There is a new anointing of God's power coming on this church, coming on you, to boldly tell the world, you must be saved. Come on, somebody. And there is no greater power than the saving power of Jesus Christ through the blood of Jesus that flowed down the cross at Calvary. It's not a power to be afraid of. It's not a power to be ashamed of. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to also the Greek. Yes. Hallelujah. That means to everybody. Amen. Salvation is the ultimate goal of the anointed Christian. Not just your own salvation, but everybody else's. The salvation of your kin. The salvation of your fellow citizens of the earth. Everybody that's surrounding you outside your homes, your neighbors. Uh-oh, I'm messing with y'all now, ain't I? You got to go knock on your neighbor's doors. I'm doing it. I'm working on it. One day soon, I'm going to get Tedrick, you and Amanda, I hope you're watching. One day soon, I'm going to get y'all in this church. I'm going to lead y'all to the altar, and y'all going to get saved. And you're going to bring your children to the altar, and they're going to get saved. And you're going to have your names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're going to be going to heaven. I spent most of the morning yesterday with Tedrick. Hallelujah. Salvation is to your fellow citizens. It's right in your workplace. It's in the shopping centers. It's in Walmart. It's in the grocery store. I know a young man. When he got saved, God set him on such a fire that he started a ministry. He would get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and study his word and pray. Then he would eat. And then he would ask the Lord where he was supposed to go. And the Lord would send him walking. One day, the Lord told him, he said, I want you to go 3 miles down this road. And when you get down this road 3 miles, you're going to turn right. There's going to be a little dirt road there you ain't never noticed before. He said, I want you to walk down that road about 300 or 400 yards. And when you get to 300 or 400 yards, you're going to come to a bridge. And when you get to that bridge, I want you to stop on that bridge, and I want you to start preaching the gospel of salvation. God didn't question him. He didn't question God at all. He lit out down that road walking. He was praying the whole time. And he got to that dirt road he had never seen before, exactly where God told him it would be. And he turned right, and about 300 yards, there was a bridge over this big ditch. Big ditch. About 12, 14 feet wide and about 8 feet deep. Dry ditch. And he stood on top of that ditch, and he started preaching. And within about 15 minutes, two homeless men come out from under that bridge and walked up on top of that dirt road and stood with him, and he preached the gospel to them, and they got saved right there because he was obedient to God. I'm telling you, and the boy would go to Walmart on Saturday night at 11 o'clock. When the young people used to hang out in the Walmart parking lot. Y'all remember they used to do that? They used to gather their cars around in big groups and hang out in the Walmart parking lot. He would walk up to them groups in their parking lot and start preaching the gospel to them in front of them. And some of them received it, and they accepted Christ as their Savior. And they left that group and went and found a church. The boy literally went into Walmart at the back of the store shopping. That's what he went in there for, is to go shopping. And he reached up to get something off the shelf, and when he did, the Lord said, stop and start preaching. He looked around. There wasn't nobody in there to hear him. He said, all right, Lord, and he started preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. A few minutes later, three or four folks come from around the end of one aisle, and then two or three folks come around from another end, and they all stood right there in a little group while he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. In Walmart. Well, that's just, he's a special anointed guy. I'm telling you that the Lord has spoken to me and told me to proclaim the anointing of power on you. You have that anointing. You can do it. Will you? Right in your workplace, right in your shopping centers, is an entire world of prisoners trapped and under the foot of an evil dictator. They're being trampled on, destroyed, defeated, raped and murdered right in front of your very eyes. And they're waiting for an army of God, to march in against the gates of hell. Mason, go ahead. They're waiting for that army to march in against the gates of hell and to bring them deliverance, bring them victory, bring them to the Lord, and bring them to the church so that we can see them come to salvation. You might not be able to preach in Walmart, but you can lead somebody to this place where I used to have a club called Andrew Club in my youth groups. You know what the Andrew Club was? The Andrew Club was a group of young people that were not bold enough to testify on their own. You know who Andrew was in the disciples? He was one of the, he was James's brother. You know, and he was Jesus' brother. Do you know what Andrew did? Andrew wasn't sharp enough to preach the gospel. But he would find somebody that needed to be saved. You know what he would do? He'd say, you know what? I know what you need, but I don't know how to bring it to you, but I know somebody who does. Come with me. And he would take them to Jesus. And Jesus would lead them to salvation. The Andrew Club is people who don't know how to preach the word, but they know how to bring them to somebody who does. You don't have to be bold enough to preach. You can if you want to. There ain't nothing stopping you but your own fear. But if you can't do that, you can bring them to somebody who does know how. Amen. We got one more thing to do, folks. I want you to do this with me. We'll raise your right hand. We're going to pray the sinner's prayer. If you're watching by live stream and you're listening by radio, this is a sinner's prayer that we've taught children all over the years for 30 years now, and we're teaching it to adults now, and it's a simple prayer. It's a five-part prayer, and each part is represented by each finger of your hand. And I want you to repeat after me, and with your thumb, pull it over, and you say, Dear Lord, I'm a sinner.
Dear Lord, I'm a sinner.
Jesus, I know you're the Son of God.
Jesus, I know you're the Son of God.
I know you died on the cross for my sin.
I know you died on the cross for my sin.
You were raised again on the third day. Come into my heart and forgive me, Jesus. Lord, I thank you.
Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803. A Streaming Plus license, A20958810. We thank you for joining us for Hope for the Hopeless on Save News Radio. Join us each week on the air or at the Haven of Hope Church at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road, just outside of Fremont, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., Kid Storm Children's Church at 11 a.m. in the Youth and Children's Center, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. with the fellowship dinner following service in the fellowship hall each Sunday night, Tuesday night old-fashioned prayer and deliverance service at 7:40 p.m., and Wednesday night youth church at 7:30 p.m., or on our Facebook page at the Haven of Hope Church group page. Come and join us at the Haven of Hope Church, Hope for the Hopeless in a Hopeless World. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.